Hello and welcome to episode 67 of Champion the Gamer. I'm joined by Batru, one that's been highly requested, as we both know. How are you, first of all?
Good, thanks. Yourself?
I'm excited, man. This again, highly requested. You've been on the list of everyone, I think, that's wanted to have this podcast done. Let everyone know who you are, what you do, and all that.
So yeah, I am Batru or Andrew, Andy, Drew, any of the above. I think I'm an epitome of a variety person. I kind of try a bit of everything, maybe a bit too much sometimes. So kind of boot up game clips when I have a chance to actually play a game. I do a bit of news if I find anything interesting. I think me or anyone watching will do. I do silly wee questions, very quick questions, just to nothing quite on the same level, I don't think, as yours, but just silly wee things that I think people seem to enjoy. I started doing a guess the game from a theme last few weeks. It seems to have done quite well. T-Dog, I know, especially really took to it. And then yeah, I do what else? I do occasional shout outs on a Saturday and then a live stream. But people probably don't know a live stream because I usually do it like 1 a.m. on a Friday and Saturday night. So it's kind of in the doldrums where most people are probably asleep. Then I've got YouTube and I do retrospectives over there and platinum videos I've kind of gone into, but yeah, realizing with the time constraints, platinum videos are a lot harder to do than maybe they used to be back in the day. But yeah, just a bit of a, I suppose, all-rounder, trier of everything, master of none, maybe.
That's not a bad thing though. Like
No.
you always get told like, oh, find a niche, find a lane and stay in it.
Yeah.
Why, if you're happy doing everything and you can do
Exactly.
everything?
Exactly. I wish I could do more, to be honest, but it's just, as you know yourself, it's you work a full-time job. You have only so many hours in the day. Like, I do a bit of touch about wrestling as well outside gaming. I do a bit of I watch sometimes do live streams for watch-alongs with the PLEs for WWE. Occasionally do reviews on the weekly shows when I have a chance. But yeah, there's so many things I would like to do. But yeah, like movies as well, music outside of the gaming space. But yeah, it's just finding the time. But gaming is my main priority, and that's where I'm kind of sticking with as the main thing at the moment.
I'm going to self-indulge a little bit then. Give me your current state of affairs on wrestling.
It's, well, I try and I used to watch them all. I tried to watch like TNA and AEW back in the day, but there's so much programming every week. It's you're talking WWE alone, you've got what, 7 hours of programming roughly. That's not including PLEs. But WWE standpoint, it's very, very up and down. It's hard to watch weekly shows, I find, at the moment, especially like SmackDown with it being 3 hours. It doesn't need to be that long. It's yeah, I hear they're going back to 2 hours soon, which is yeah, needed for a long time. But it's kind of, I think, a middle point just now. Like Evolution though was a really good PLE recently. I feel that was really well done and highlighted the women wrestlers, which I think they deserve. But then you had like Saturday Night Main Event the night before, which was it was a house show on slight steroids, I suppose. But it's a bit, yeah, middle point at the moment. It is a bit hard to maybe drag myself to watch weekly shows sometimes, but it's plodding along. It always seems to get to this point in the midpoint, but there are SummerSlam in a few weeks, so hopefully it'll jump up again and yeah, we'll get some good storylines going into that. It feels like they are piling things in now. It's 2 nights as well, so
Well, this is the point of the year, isn't it, where you've had WrestleMania and you've had the big ones, and the
yeah.
SummerSlam is kind of going to ramp up again. But for WWE in particular, it's like the summer is a little bit of a slow period
Yeah,
because it's just
definitely.
like everyone's had that big build up to the March, April. Now we're coming back down again. Now we're going to go back up again towards SummerSlam.
Yeah.
Two things on that though. You said about the 3 hours. I think they're going back to two, aren't they, soon? Which I think is
They
good.
are, yes. I think it's August, September. Can't quite remember, but they are finally cutting it down because they put it to three, but they're not using the people right. So,
Well, because what made me laugh about that is that they kind of, I think, misjudged their own ability a little bit. Because when they had the Bloodline for ages, like 4 or 5 years, literally every single episode of SmackDown was like two matches maximum, and then an hour of the Bloodline.
Yeah.
So like, there's all these superstars sat there thinking, we need 3 hours to get all these guys on. It's like, no, just have the Bloodline for half an hour and have 12 matches. It's not tricky,
Yeah,
you know.
that's why you can see some other wrestling fans, they do say it's more the entertainment side than the wrestling because you've got a 3 hour show or a 2 hour show, and you're lucky if you get four or five matches, maybe, and half of them are going to be DQ finishes or dodgy finishes. So, Yeah.
But see, I did. I actually, on that whole DQ thing, I actually think when Triple H took over, they went back a little bit, didn't they, to actually proper finishes. It
Yeah.
really helped for a little bit. Obviously, now they're going to sort of diverse a bit more, but it was really good for a really like long period of time. And
Definitely.
then on top of all that, where they had the Bloodline going on and all this high-end great stuff happening, you then had these like women coming up more and more and more. And actually, if you look at Evolution, was Io Sky and Rhea Ripley the best match of all time? It wasn't, but I just mean
Yeah,
it was amazing, wasn't it?
definitely up there as one of the best to see women wrestling matches. It's they set a very high bar. A lot of people, I know it's the finish has been a bit mixed with the cash in, but I think it added to it because I wasn't expecting it. I think everyone thought she was go after Tiffany, or if Jade wins the belt at SummerSlam, that'd be the big kind of get upper type thing. But no, that was good, a good finish, and it was definitely up there as one of the best female matches.
And because I'm self-indulging and I could chat wrestling for 3 hours, but because I'm self-indulging, one final question. SummerSlam finishes, and it's been a great show, let's say, and it's been, there's a ton of great matches and everything. Just 2 nights this year, and it's been a really big, like, massive event and everything. Is the end of it with Seth Rollins holding the championship?
That's the thing. It's very, the whole thing of him being injured seems a bit suspicious, but it's like he's possibly got an injury, but the way they've been dealing with it and talking about it almost seems like a work somewhere. So I have a feeling that he is gonna, even if he has to hobble out like he did at WrestleMania 40, where he came out and hobbled to the ring and got taken out by Roman. I think he's gonna try and do something, get the rest of his Seth cronies involved, and yeah, I think it's a good chance Cody may win it, and then he'll nick it off him.
Because I had this, because I like conspiracy theories, and I think that the whole Naomi coming out after her match, even though she lost, so she was quote unquote hobbled a little bit, is kind of a foreshadow for Seth being quote unquote injured, having time off, and then jumping back in at SummerSlam and grabbing it. Because I think that just makes a lot more sense. Because I think a lot what they've done great so, at the moment is murking more and more real with fake story. Because everyone's like, oh, kayfabe's dead. Yeah, it kind of is. We know it's a program, but just roll with it then. Just accept it's what it is. What it is. I'm going to get into a whole spiel. Let's get back into the whole gaming thing. Talk about you said about how much stuff of content you do, the variety and everything. What stuff you enjoy the most, do you think? What are you aiming for in the next few months, let's say?
So I do enjoy I've started to enjoy the music quiz, like I say. That was just a random thing that came to mind a few weeks ago. I think I'd seen people do these, top 10 music from 20, they're now turning 25 in this year, or I have seen some quizzes on YouTube, and it's like I don't see many of that, at least that I'm aware of, on TikTok. So it was quite interesting pulling lists together and trying to figure out, okay, what's going to be easy, what's going to be difficult. I am only 3 weeks in at this point, so it's probably going to get harder to figure out what to put in. But I do also like just interacting with people. Like, I do like the streaming. I wish I could do it more, but we see it's just time constraints. Friday, Saturday night, it's kind of became my slot, if you like. It's a bit quieter, but I do enjoy interacting with the people that do come in and have kind of followed me throughout the last about year I've been streaming. And I do, and just in the general, I do just like playing games. I do like discovering new games and retro games. I thought, until I came on here, I thought I knew games, and then you see people that are doing the top 100, for example, that group of people that are, and it's like half the time I feel I'm putting in the comments, nope, I've seen it but not tried it, seen it not tried it, or never heard of that. So it's just opening my eyes to so many more games that I would love to try again. It's time issue, isn't it?
How much of a gamer, when I ask what I mean by this question is time wise, how much of a gamer are you? You say you work a full-time job, and obviously, as most of us are really busy, how much of your week is filled with gaming? And then how much of that do you think your brain turns to, I've played that, I'll make content out of it?
Usually when I get home and you get kind of settled, you get dinner out the way, I'm quite often on to play a game or something. That has maybe switched since doing content, because don't know about you, but you do find your brain kind of changes to, I could play that, but what could I do for content as well? So it does, I think that's maybe, as much as I love doing content, I think that's maybe diluted my actual gaming time a bit. But usually when, yeah, like I say, when I come home, I fire on a game. That's mainly one of the reasons I started doing content in the first place. I mean, like a lot of people, I've been playing games for as long as I can remember, and it's always been a part of just my daily routine, and it's been there through the ups and downs of life. Just it's a good escape, a good getaway. So I was like, well, okay, and in my 30s now, I feel I need to make a change. I'm going to start making content on gaming. But like you say, it is just trying to find that balance of doing content and the actual enjoyment of playing a game, a new game. I think I've decided I was streaming new games on stream, but they were taking a while to play. And also, if you're playing a story game, you can't always focus. You're talking to the chat or you're just drawn away by something else. So I have decided I think those types of games I'm going to play more offline for myself and then play maybe games I've played before or bit more, maybe games you don't have to focus as much on the story on stream. But yeah, I do try and game as much as I can. It's just, yeah, find the balance.
And for those that don't really know much about you or your likes and dislikes, what sort of games are you playing? Like, what's your favorite genres? What's your go-to games?
I, again, very much variety. I try a bit of everything. There's games that I don't like as much, like fighting and racing, but that's mainly because I'm not good at them at all. I just can't get a handle. Like fighting games, I'm button mashing half the time. Kind of the only quote unquote fighting game, if you can call it, is I play as the WWE games, going back to that type of thing. But I do like a good kind of action RPG. Again, there's a load that I've not tried yet. There's like, I know one of your favorites, Witcher, is one that I need to get into. I did see it's leaving PS Plus, so I am considering whether to jump straight into 3 or I need to play the previous ones. I do like just I play a bit of FIFA every so often, but it's a bit of a if I've got 10, 15 minutes of just something easy, simple, just I don't need to think about, I fire that on, play a couple of matches. I do what platforming as well, probably a good old platformer, but I feel there's not as many of them now, like the old Jak and Daxter days. I do go back to play those types of games, but probably the early days of Assassin's Creed as well, as that's what I kind of originally built my YouTube on, was retrospectives on Assassin's Creed, and I've kind of built from there. So a bit of everything, a variety again. It's I try a bit of everything.
Go into your YouTube a little bit, because not a lot of people that I've had on here have got Fully Fledged YouTube channels. They've dabbled a little bit, but obviously it's more of a TikTok or Instagram vibe. But what are you looking to do on YouTube long term, I guess? Like, what's your sort of plan with YouTube?
I think at the moment, I did actually start my YouTube before TikTok. I went down that route and I did start Let's Play style videos. It was, again, it was Assassin's Creed Odyssey, but as a brand new channel trying to do a Let's Play, it went absolutely nowhere. Nobody was watching because I was unknown and it's an older game. So I've kind of moved into, like, say, retrospectives. I do like doing a bit of retro. So I did move to, like, going to play the old Assassin's Creed games in today. How do they hold up? And then I, like I say, I started doing some platinum videos. Cause I do like, I used to like platinum collecting quite a lot back in the day, but I got away from it. As a time commitment, some games, especially modern day games, where you have to spend this the like the current day Assassin's Creed, you require 100 plus hours to actually platinum. So it's finding that the right games for that. And I do like reviews. I'm trying to get more into doing reviews for games. I do like that idea. I'm not maybe the best at it yet, but that's hopefully something I'm building up. And again, a bit of a retrospective review overall.
Are you a like completionist by nature?
In a sense, yes. Yes and no. I have that two sides of my brain where it used to be the case of a game wasn't complete until you got the platinum or got all achievements. And you 100% it, and that was it. My brain, I do still have that side, but then you get older and go, you know, that little bit of your brain, do I need to do this? Do I have the time to do this? Should I be doing something else? So I am, but that niggle is there trying to stop me doing it.
Because I wondered if that sort of thing, because I'm not, frankly. If I mean, I've done it for some things, but I'm not a massive, I need 100% everything. I'm just not. But I wondered if that sort of trait has held you back, to a bit of a strong term, but if it's held you back from playing certain games because
I
that's
think so.
big.
Yeah.
Or, have you gone, oh, well, I love the look of pick a game. I love the look of Ghost of Tsushima, but I'm never going to complete it, so I won't play it. It's a bad example, but is there any games that you think you've missed out on because you've like not really felt I could complete that?
There's probably a lot, yeah. Like I say, the Witcher games. I also have that part of my brain that for some reason, like Witcher 3 is a game I'd love to try because I know it's got so much high praise. People love it. It's constantly up there as top games for a lot of people. But a part of my brain is like, I need to play one and two first before I play three. I know that's probably not the case, but yeah, I have that strange part of the brain going that. And then the Souls games. I would like to try the Souls games, but I think part of me is like, I'm going to be terrible at them. I'm gonna, yeah, just suck in general. So I'd love to play them, but that part of me is going, no, just stay away from them. Don't try them yet. But they are on the list to maybe do on stream at some point, just to frustrate me and everyone else watching, because that's always fun.
I think for me, like you said about The Witcher, I'll throw Baldur's Gate in there. And there's a couple of others, but there's some games where the sandbox is so alluring because you can't really go wrong. Like for me, I like a game where I can get in, probably complete the story, whatever, and then get out again. And obviously, open worlds are great. I mean, on GTA is probably the best example of a story that goes through the whole way, but you can explore elsewhere. But with The Witcher and Baldur's Gate, for example, you can just turn the game on. Spend an hour of doing absolutely anything random, and you can't go wrong with it. And the story will naturally progress in some ways. And that to me is a thing that, as an older bloke, really appeals to me. Because, like you said, you've not always got the chance to immerse yourself into a 100-hour game because you can't grip the story for that long because you can't play it for that long. An hour on a Monday, can't play it again until Friday, and it's like you lose track. But actually, those kind of games are more and more appealing to me.
Definitely. It's Ubisoft were the worst for adding you go out to the open world, here's 5,000 different icons on the map that you need to go to explore. And it's just like, it just puts you off straight away. Games have got probably arguably too big. I know that's now quite a common consensus, I think, amongst people, but games have just got way, way, way too big. Give me a good old 16 to 20 hour experience of just pure story, good storytelling, and that's where it should be.
Well, I was chatting to someone about the whole Ubisoft thing because we were saying about Assassin's Creed, and obviously, like, you said there are about 5,000 icons, but in actuality, it's probably about 100 times 50. Like, it's the same thing, loads. I mentioned Far Cry because I'm playing Far Cry 2 probably later this month, maybe. We'll see. I love those games, I've played them several times, but that's got a monotony to it because a lot of the icons are the same in the open world, but it's just so much smaller and more attainable. Whereas it feels like for Assassin's Creed, for example, you're just doing it for the sake of it. I hate that. I don't like games that are just bloated for no reason. All right, let's get into the next bit, which I'm quite excited for, because I feel like you've got some good ones coming. We can get back into you later because I've got some questions about your stuff later, but hot takes and solid debates. Have you got any hot takes gaming related?
Now this is a segment I've been trying to think about since episode one, like what would be my hot takes. I think it's what one that might, I suppose, alienate people is roguelike, and roguelike games are a bit overrated. And I feel they're being shoehorned into a lot of different things for the sake of it rather than needing it. For example, two of the biggest games that people have been seeing in the last year were Blueprints and Bellatro. And I played them multiple times. I've wanted to get into them. I've wanted to like them. As I say, I try and give a game a try, even if I don't think I'll like it. I even gave Fortnite 5, 10 minutes at one point, and it's like, nope, that's not for me. But yeah, the roguelike, I just feel it's been shoehorned in. I don't quite get to this. It's the same with Souls like as well. I just feel they've been shoehorned into games for the sake of it rather than actually needing that mechanic.
I'm just trying to think. There's some games that I'll sort of sway you on. Is there anything that's been the most egregious for you that's really turned your head on that?
Like I say, nothing's clicked with me yet. I'm always open to try. If like somebody can find a roguelike or a roguelike game, I will definitely give it a go, and maybe one day something will click. Like I say, Bellatro, people loved it, and it's a card game, and yeah, didn't quite click with me for some reason. This whole just roguelike in general, where you go on a run, you stop, and then you have to start the run again. I'm a more a story person game, story driven game, and I know they can be story intertwined with these games, but That's the yeah, they've never quite clicked with me, but I'm willing to be proven wrong, but I think they're just overrated personally.
Hades?
A game I've not tried, so that's definitely I've
Please
heard
try
good things.
Hades. Hades was the only one where I had a Switch for a brief period of time, and I never really, I didn't utilize it to its full potential. There wasn't enough on there for me to have it really. So I wasn't using it at work or anything. I just wasn't using it. But Hades was the one game that I got on that I played religiously. And it was like, I don't know what it was. The fact that it was like, you couldn't, the constant deaths and everything was the opposite for me. I felt like you couldn't lose. So I quite enjoyed it, and it's quite an experience for me. Yeah. So maybe think about it that way. Maybe think about it as it's a constant, just continuous game you can just
Go
churn
around.
away at and have fun with and just relax with and not worry about ever losing because you don't. You just constantly get better. I quite enjoyed that.
No, it's definitely on the list. I think I found as part of my music quiz recently, Hades, and I know I looked up a bit of information on it. So it's definitely, like you say, I'm not closing any games down to ever trying. I might be worse at some games than others, but yeah, for me personally, there's just none that's ever clicked. So yeah, but I'd be willing to give Hades a try.
For the sheer fact it's beautiful. One question that I've asked before on the coaches questions part is is there a part of gaming you've got zero interest in? But like let's just do it now. Is there anything you got zero interest in? Because you said there like you're willing to try most things. Like, do you reckon you try pretty much anything?
Try pretty much anything, but zero interest is probably the games like Fortnite or Warzone. I've tried them, and they just like I tried PUBG back in the day. I don't know if it's maybe evolved since then, but I just never found the appeal of running around a map for 20 minutes, not finding anyone, maybe collecting some loot, and then getting popped off by the first guy you come across. It's like it was just not enjoyable. Like it was just a complete waste of time, in my opinion. So those types of Warzone and Fortnite, I've just no interest in. I think that's probably about it. I don't play as much online as I used to. One, because I can't be bothered with some of the people online, and I've just never been good enough. Like you get the sweats, if you like, that have been they play Call of Duty. Pretty much that's their life. And then you go on, and you've got no chance. So I do try online every so often, but I'd usually stay away from that the majority of the time. So that to a lesser extent, but yeah.
And I want to try something a little bit different. I'm with you on Call of Duty, by the way. I've been there before many times, and I haven't played online games now for the last 4 or 5 years. I just haven't done it. I've had, haven't had, haven't had the interest. But I want to try something a little bit different. So rather than me posit one, is there anything someone said recently, or you can think of from any period of time, that's really riled you up about a game or a game series, or you know?
I can't think of anything off the top of my head. It's really riled me up. Nothing off the top of my head that's kind of riled me up as such. There's some things in the news you hear of that you go, why are they doing that or going that direction? But nothing that's like wound me up majorly. I'm quite, I suppose, chill in that sense of, yeah.
Well, I guess I'm just trying to figure out a bit more about who you are, because I'm a bit like that. But then if someone does mention something about a game I love, or there's a potential for a change in a series that I love, I'll get quite angry about it. So just how much do you take it on the chin, or how much do you just let it roll by?
I think I take it on the chin most of the time. I do, you do find frustrating. Like online gaming community can be so toxic. You do read through forums of games you play, and people seem to moan for the sake of moaning. That's yeah, some are justified, some less so. Again, go back to things like the WWE games, they are the same game. Pretty much every year. It's like FIFA. It's a content update, if you like, new arenas, new whatever, but people are never happy. They immediately moan about this, that, and the other. I usually just don't bother engaging. Like I maybe internally go, that's just wrong take and that's just stupid. But I usually try and I don't usually indulge in it because that's what some of these people want at times.
I like that mindset though. I mean, people are going to get so bored of this analogy, but that's what I say about the internet, full stop. Is if you throw yourself at the internet and you rely on it, it can wear you out because there's so much negative stuff out there and so much stuff that's draining. Obviously, if you
Definitely.
sit back, imagine it being an ocean and you're on a boat and there's islands. Go and find a positive island, get back on your boat, sail away, come back again and find another one, and do it in spurts of time. Don't be on it all the time, because eventually you'll find something bad. And you know, it's good for the psyche that way, I think. People don't rely
Definitely.
so heavily on screen time or what people think of them online. It's gonna kill you eventually, metaphorically, because it just is.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, let's go into coaches' questions then. This is my chance to throw two, three, or four of my now infamous questions on my page at the guest in front of me and get their reaction. And so, question one, my friend, is there a video game sound that still haunts you?
Video game sound still, yes. Don't know if you ever played the original Max Payne.
Yes.
The in-between section where you're following that red trail around the dark room and you fall off, and there is a screaming bird blood-curdling cry of a baby every time. That sound is, yeah, stuck with me. I've not played that game probably easily 20 years, and they're still that is a nightmare-inducing scream.
Because it's a bit of a weird one, but on Manhunt, there's a scream on that, and I just can't get that out of my head. I think Screech is full stop, because the other one I say about is on Metroid 2 on the Game Boy. Anytime you hit the, what I'm going to call, it's not lava, whatever I call lava, the lava section, you bounce off of it and you get your health draining down. The screeching noise is horrendous. Yeah. Do you find that gaming sounds or soundtracks do stick with you generally? Do you remember a game because of it?
I would say so. I used to be quite involved with music when I was at school. I played the flute for a number of years. So I was involved in different types of bands. So I've got quite an appreciation for, I suppose, more classical takes on music. So, like soundtrack for Final Fantasy X is one I always go back to as one of, I would say, one of the best soundtracks. Up, definitely up there anyway. It's one of my favorite ones. Every so often, I just go back to, I just listen to and. It's just, yeah, takes me, I suppose, nostalgia takes you back to that time when you first played it. And it's, yeah, just relaxing. Same with Kingdom Hearts, kind of that JRPG, the Square, they know how to do a good soundtrack, I think. And yeah, I think it's definitely important and always sticks with me, which is a reason as well. I think I started this gaming music quiz that started because, yeah, music is important. It can ruin or enhance a moment in a game. There's so many emotional moments over the years that are definitely the music adds to whatever the experience is.
And I took stand out a little bit. I want to get your take on this, because I had Louise Schofield on, and she does Spill the Sound, and she's big into music, and everything. And she was saying that how musicians and bands now see gaming as a slightly different genre, in the sense of it's accessible for them to put themselves out there. Like if you can get your if you're a band, an indie band or whatever, and you can get your song on FIFA, or you can get it on any kind of game, it's massive, and it really helps. I think bands nowadays take it as a big step that's really positive, rather than arm on some cheap little video game thing over there. It's really big for them now. I think that's quite a cool change of culture. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, definitely. Like whether it be the trailer, because you see what used to be E3, but the Summer Game Fest and like they throw on piece of music. It can be older, but they throw a piece of music into the game trailer and that can remind you of what the game is just from hearing that music and go, oh, I'll check out that band as well. Why not? I think most people play Gears 3. Mad World is obviously a song that will stick with them forever. So definitely it's a yeah, I think gaming can definitely enhance a band's reputation and yeah, why not check them out? Because if you like that mute song, why won't you like other piece of music they do?
I've not got this written down, but I'm going to ask it anyway, because you just spurred my ideas there. What is your favorite, I guess, video game trailer then?
Video game trailer.
Because I'll let you answer first, but I have two because of what you just said.
Again, I think it goes down to music actually. One that stuck with me was the Assassin's Creed Revelations trailer and the song Woodkid, from Woodkid. That
I'm
is,
clapping. Yes.
yes, that was. I love that piece and it was so well put together. I don't think it quite hit as well in the game because that music wasn't there, but it definitely drew you. I was deep in the Assassin's Creed at that point anyway, so but yeah, that has always stuck with me, that trailer.
And because I'm so glad, I love that I've met a Kindred Spirit. I love that. It's Mad World on Gears, and it's because I think that Revelations trailer is, I'm gonna swear, fucking fantastic. It's
Is.
so good. And it's well, the only thing that annoyed me was the fact that he does Ezio does some spins that you can't do in the game.
No,
And I was
no.
like, that's a bit unfair that you can't really give me the You can't have beat 15,000 guys in a little row there and then not let me do it.
Yeah, yeah, he's so stiff in comparison. You're like, okay, couldn't be up.
But I'm not, oh, it lives rent free in my head. I love it to bits. All right. Number two is, what was the first and what was the last game you completed?
The first, oh, that's gone. I'm trying to remember now. I think the first one probably was Super Mario 64. It was one of the first console games I got. My first console was the N64, and I got it bundled along with Star Wars Episode One Racer, and Mario 64 came with it. And yeah, Mario 64 again is one of those games that stuck with me. Whether it be nostalgia, I've not properly played it for a long while, but it's one of those games up there that is probably in my top at least five games. And I played so much of that, and that was back in the days when I was that age. That was the game you had, so you would play it and play it and play it until you completed it. Last game I completed, because I've been doing, I suppose, platinum videos, it would have been Until Dawn, probably. So not quite the same level, but it was a good game. I'm going through the Assassin's Creed games again from the beginning, so I'm currently through Brotherhood, so I will probably complete that as well. So yeah, that was probably the first and last one, thing, yeah.
Have you played Assassin's Creed the whole way through?
No, I think like a lot of people, I loved the series up to Syndicate, and then I fell off a bit. And Origins never really interested me initially, because I knew they changed it completely. So I have gone back and played Origins, and I've played about, I think, half of Odyssey. Like I said, that was the one I was doing on YouTube for my Let's Play. I think that ruined it slightly for me because it kind of it had the connotation of nobody's watching my videos. I'm not going to keep playing this just now. So I do need to go back. Then I've heard Valhalla is way too big for what it is. So I do want to finish the games, but because, like I say, I was a big Prince of Persia fan. So as soon as I saw the trailer for Assassin's Creed 1, like, yep, that's the game I want to play. That's the game I want to try. And I loved it, but they really feel like they've gone off of what it was. And then when the story got whatever the story is now, it got very convoluted for what it is. I could bring back the Desmond days.
I don't necessarily bring back Desmond, but bring back those days.
Yeah.
I say this all the time about Assassin's Creed. It's that old get off my lawn old man thing. But legitimately, Assassin's Creed, if you weren't around for it when it first came out, so one, two, was it Brotherhood, Revelations, three is terrible. Black, but those first three or four games were amazing. They were proper trendsetters. They were trailblazers. In a genre that was not really very filled up yet, and it really set the stand for it. And then people nowadays go, "Oh yeah, but look at how big it is, look at how empty it is." Yeah, it wasn't then. Like
No.
when you're running through Constantinople and doing what and it felt like you were learning something, whereas now it just feels like it's empty and just
Yeah,
fluff. So yeah,
definitely.
I people have said to me about streaming, and I was like, I'd quite happily stream Assassins, because it would give me a chance to play it again.
Yeah,
Maybe that's something I do.
definitely.
All right. Number three, which game that never got a sequel should have one?
There's probably quite a few out there. Let's see what. Trying to think of one off the top of my head. That's where you're trying to think. Your mind's gone blank of like so many, but you can't think of any at the same time.
I love it because, just give you a chance to think here, I love this sort of questions because, like when you see people in the street asking questions to the public, or like, and they say, oh, or like, I love the superhero ones. The guy says, like, name 10 black superheroes. And the people clearly know 10, but being put on the spot makes them freeze. It's just, and it is a phenomenon, so I do understand it.
Let's see what game I feel. Well, I feel maybe not a sequel as such, but I feel games like Jak and Daxter and Sly Cooper, they are genres of games that they deserve to have. Like Ratchet and Clank has survived that period. It seems to be the winner of the. There was the three of them that were fighting for that kind of genre at the time, and Ratchet's obviously managed to survive. But the other two deserve, I think, sequels. I love the Jack trilogy. I think they ruined it with The Last Frontier. That was an odd choice of game, and then it just disappeared. And the same with Sly. It's the PS3 game, and so I think they both deserve sequels. They deserve to continue and bring back that classic platforming genre, which again I feel is not really touched on these days as much as it should be.
I think there's, because there's so many of them, my brain would naturally just go to ones I particularly love. Like, I've always said about Split Second, because that ended on a cliffhanger that just needs to be fixed. But even games that are completed, so you could argue that, say, a Mass Effect's been completed. But I think it's because I've not necessarily played Mass Effect as much as other people. If there was a sequel now, I'd be quite interested in that, because it'd be a fresh take on something that's already established that everyone loves. And I could join in the party with everybody else. Because like the whole Star Wars effect, they do Star Wars like in trilogies every so many decades, but it brings in new fans, doesn't it? Because there's a whole new generation to watch them.
To some people, the new trilogy is the trilogy, but for most of us, probably the original trilogy is the one. Though I grew up obviously with the prequels, but so I do have a soft spot for some of them, or parts of them anyway. Like Duel of the Fates, going back to music, is probably one of the best pieces of, I think, movie music. But yeah, there's again so many cancelled games in Star Wars. Like I was really interested in that 1313 that was going to come out, the Bounty Hunter game, that I feel should have came out, and there was a trailer for it. It did look like a Star Wars Uncharted type style game. But yeah, there's so many games that I think they just get dropped if they're not doing maybe well enough, or maybe the studio moves on, which is a shame that they never either see out or get the continuation they deserve.
I don't understand 1313. Like, I'm not full context. I'm not a massive Star Wars fan. But even I recognised that at the time, 1313 was basically in post production. All the voice was in there. All the graphics were done. Everything was finished about the game. They just didn't release it. I didn't understand that because it looked fantastic.
It's like just the fact that they can cancel games. Like recently, the Xbox shutdowns with the Initiative and Perfect Dark, and you realize now that that maybe wasn't what the game was going to be. That was going to be a vertical slice of what the game could be, but it looked really interesting. It looked like a futuristic Splinter Cell, potentially, that style of game. Again, another genre, another game that deserves a sequel or a comeback, Splinter Cell. But I think we've talked before, we've worried about how they would deal with Splinter Cell in the modern day. But yeah, this was
I'm not going to ramble on it because everyone's bored of me now, but
the
it's got to the point where, and I want to preface this by saying that there's a lot of games and movies even that are the same where
line.
it's been so long since you've had them that I'd be worried that when they were brought back, it didn't do enough justice. And also there's levels of fandom and fanfare that they just can't reach because the fans don't know what they want. They can't quantify it. So if the game isn't perfection, which is an unqualified perfection, because I don't know what it is, it's never going to reach those heights or scratch the itch that fans have. And why start like the Splinter Cell movie? If they made the thing with Tom Hardy saying they're going to make a Splinter Cell movie, my theory with that is I'd love it, don't get me wrong, but kind of like what Assassin's Creed was, it's a generic action film. Like if you made a Splinter Cell movie, it'd be a generic spy film.
Well, I've tried it with the two Hitman movies, and both have flopped majorly, so I think same idea.
You know, because as a game it works because you can see Sam or whoever it is, or maybe Sarah now doing like, the split jump or whatever. Great. But as a movie, like we've seen Tom Cruise do that. So like, how much more can you really push the boundaries? I don't know.
Definitely.
Last question then is what is your favorite? And this can be in any context because it can be a terrible game you love or a fantastic game full stop. But what is your favorite video game based on a movie?
Video game based on a movie. I think there's been lots and lots of terrible ones, as we know. But as I was talking with somebody recently, I'd like that time to come back because I didn't feel like there's enough video game movies recently. I think there's two that comes to mind immediately. Path of Neo, The Matrix Path of Neo is really, really good. Enter the Matrix was okay, but I feel Path of Neo, it kind of really took that to a new level. And you're playing as Neo as well, so it definitely It helped, I think. And then probably the Wolverine Origins game just wasn't long enough, I don't think. But the mechanics in that, I think, were ahead of the time, where he obviously lost health and that parts of him flaked away, and then you saw kind of his muscle growing back over time. So really well done. It just, yeah, wasn't long enough. So that's probably two that come to mind.
What I love about the Wolverine game is it the beginning or second mission in where he jumps out of the helicopter? And
Yeah, I think it was
it's
the
like, why did you just bring a parachute, bruv? There's literally no need for you to just jump to the ground like that.
No, he's
No need. It just I that sort of thing in games makes me laugh, or movies even. It's like there's no logic there whatsoever. He's
Nope, over
pre-planned this already. Just bring a parachute. Like it's just, there's no need.
the top action just for the sake of it.
Yeah. But that I've mentioned this before about the three rendered versions of him. It's a really cool idea.
Yeah.
More games need to do, because there was a skeleton, the flaky skin, and the full version, right? That's really cool. That I like that.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen anyone really touch on that since. It seems, yeah, definitely a cool mechanic, which, yeah, it's, I don't know why you didn't do
And then just again, self-indulging here, I suppose. But have you seen the trailer for the new Mortal Kombat film?
I've not yet. I did see it came out the other day. I've not had a chance to actually watch it yet. I've heard a few mixed things about
Have you
it.
seen the first one?
Yes, I
Did you
have.
like it?
It was okay.
Oh, okay, I'll tell you that. Nice. I'll tell you that, I don't know. But it was, I love that film. I thought it was class. And Carl Urban is just the GOAT, so I can't wait to do that. All right. So let's go into the next portion then, which is Creator Spotlight. So your chance now to shout out either creators you really enjoy, or if you're not comfortable doing that, it's completely fine. We don't need names, but just give us an idea of the type of content you enjoy and why you enjoy it.
As we know, I think the space on TikTok, especially just now, it's the gaming space is massive. There's so many great creators coming through at the moment. Obviously, first, not because I'm on the podcast, but I think you deserve a lot of credit for what you do. Amount of people I've either found or through your kind of your shout out videos or through the podcast, I think you do an amazing thing for the community. And I know you don't see you say you don't care about the numbers, but I do think you deserve more recognition yourself. So you're definitely up there. Then you've got people like Frampton and the Cadets. They are all amazing people. I like what Frampton doing at the moment. He's obviously got the Cadets stream he does every 2 weeks. Then he's got the one he started where he's going to do a deep dive into a game. I think he did Resident Evil this last week. So definitely all those guys. You've got Video Game Viking, who his editing on videos is it blows anything out of the water. It could be so cheesy and over the top, but I love what he's doing. Holly with her retro stuff. She doesn't post as much, I don't think, as she should, but she definitely, her videos she does bring out are, I think, great quality and really interesting. Then you've got our good old 8-Bit Barber, who is, yeah, he is the pinnacle, I think, at the moment of especially streaming. He shows what you can do if you put your time and effort in, right? Obviously representing Scotland, so that's also a top notch for him. Then you've got like a lot of people you've had in this show, this podcast already, Mr. Mark 88. I talked to him quite a lot. So yeah, so many. It's hard to name them all. I wish I could, but yeah, space is just anything, any content that just is engaging or similar interests or just they show their passion for games in general. It's I'm always going to give that the time of day and give it a follow.
Because I think a lot of people take for granted how engaging can be different for everybody. Like what you, if you're scrolling through TikTok or Instagram or any kind of social media, and you see someone that you find potentially interesting, that would be different to what I find interesting. And the way that, what's the word I want? The way that appeals to each of us can be different as well. So like if you scroll through and you see, let's pick someone, Richard Revisit, right? And he's got great edited videos and a bit of like a skit type vibe and everything. I love it. Some people might not. So what is it when you're going through these different things that no matter what the subject is, it can be about the war, politics, gaming. Like what is it about someone's video that you would say, actually, I'll stick around for a little bit?
If they're engaging themselves, they come across quite well. There are a couple of guys that mention there, Game Boy Customs and T-Dog, who they've obviously been doing their own thing, growing themselves. And I just find them both, they come across really well, and they're just so easy to talk to, and they know what they're talking about with the games. So we've obviously got T-Dog, who is Final Fantasy pretty much. He is, some people might say he is the man for Final Fantasy. And then you've got Game Boy. They both just, they're so engaging, just the way they come across, the way they speak about the game, and the way they're, yeah, just the game content in general. It's very similar to my own taste.
And then, in terms of, because like I say, everyone's a bit different in how they create and what they want to create and the message they want to portray, right? In terms of the gaming side of things, is there anything someone's ever done and you scroll through a video and you've seen it or they've chatted about it on a whatever that you've gone, oh yeah, that makes sense. I'll try and implement that myself.
There probably has. I think you feel social media, if you're not really picking tips from other people, you're probably not doing it right. Everyone kind of feeds off each other. So probably, yeah, the way maybe I present my content, where just the way they come across, I maybe adapted that over the years, or over the year rather. Just like I say, it's just the way they present, the way the content is on the screen. I maybe adapt as well how I, if I'm doing a gameplay clip, I've changed how maybe the layout of it, and just to try and make it more pop more, if you like, to be, oh, this is not just another gameplay clip that we've seen millions of on this platform, just scroll on. So they're trying to adapt from, there's been many people I've seen as well showing off like consoles and so on, or games. So I don't do many pickup videos, but I do have done occasionally, and that's been, there's such a great market on TikTok, especially for pickups and showing off retro consoles, and like Harry, the stuff he shows is like, I've heard, not heard of half of them, but really engaging and really interesting the way he presents his content. So yeah, I try and match that kind of maybe way of presenting what I'm doing, maybe slightly different, but definitely yeah, get inspiration from others that way.
That's the message I would have, is I would say to anybody that wants advice for starting even or whatever, yeah, do what you want to do and all, but don't be afraid to either ask somebody about something or to, dare I say, copy somebody. Because I've said about the question videos. You mentioned it earlier about, you do question videos and so do a lot of others. But I've seen situations where, for example, I put a question out on a Monday. I'm just, being for sake of example now. But I'll put a question out on Monday and then that exact same question will get asked on Friday by somebody else. I don't get angry about that. Because that person that's posted that is going to get, whether they see my video or not, and probably haven't, but they're going to get a completely different set of answers from a different set of people. So you get even more of a bigger discussion. So don't be afraid to take inspiration from other people, I think is the main message there, because that's where a lot of ideas come from, frankly. It's going to be really hard now, especially in 2025, to rewrite the wheel on content creation. So
Definitely.
don't be afraid to try it. And what you mentioned, like Holly and like Boxy is another one. They don't post all the time. They post when they want to post them, but their quality is always high because they've taken that time. So whenever I said this to Boxy when he was on here, I said, when he posts stuff, it's like an event because Boxy's posted. You're sort of really happy he's done it rather than, oh, Mars posted 3 times today. It's just a regular pattern. It's actually an event when he posts it. So
Yeah, you've got to
don't
love
be afraid to.
his delivery of content as well. He's got a definite certain way of how he delivers it.
I love it. It's like a proper typical British, like English humor,
Yeah,
sarcastic,
dry humor.
dry
Yep.
humor. I love it
Yeah,
so much, man.
definitely.
Yeah, man. Okay, so do the bit that I love that no one else does. Why should someone be following you?
Oh, this is a bit that I struggle with, selling myself. I'm told I'm yeah, very, I suppose, humble in that sense, but yeah, I suppose just I'm just trying different things. If you like gaming in general, I'm usually got loads of different content, whether it be modern day, retro, hopefully interesting enough that people want to stick along. I know I'm not the most enthusiastic person. I've got the Scottish Andy Murray type vibe about of laid back and monotone in a sense, but I do. If you do love gaming, and yeah, more information on things like, yeah, just what's going on in the news, I try and, like say, cover that a bit. And yeah, just I try and engage with everybody that I can. That is one thing I suppose people keep saying when they do shout me out and other things is I just try and engage with everybody as much as you can do. Obviously, more people you start following, it does get a bit harder because the algorithms, they do, some people get hidden occasionally, unfortunately. But I do try and interact and engage with people as much as I can. We're all in this journey together. It's whether we want to get out of it, it's our own path. But I always try and support other people that are on it as well.
And for the record, the most underappreciated thing ever is that Andy Murray is hilarious.
Cam, yeah,
He
definitely.
just is hilarious. He's amazing. So you mentioned about you being really engaging, which you are, which is great. I think anyone that comes to your page will see that immediately. And it won't be like you're just presenting information and buggering off again. You actually are presenting information or an idea or an opinion or something. And people can actually feel like they're part of the conversation with you, which I really, really love. I love people that really try and encourage conversation and discussion because I feel like that way we're both getting something out of it.
Definitely.
It feels more real. Is there any goals for your page? You said that you're a bit of a variety and you just sort of do what you want to do as you do it, I suppose. But have you got any goals for your page?
So I think on, I want consistency, I think, is a key, especially on the YouTube side of things. I feel, again, it's down to times and what I can do. So it's really kind of trying to streamline what I'm doing and be more consistent and improve maybe quality overall. I think, it's more or less just, I suppose, keep doing the same type of things. It's, like I say, gameplay stuff. I do want to do more questions, just do it on a more consistent manner. I think just build what I've got already. It's kind of, as I say, doing what I'm doing. I do, as I say, wrestling, and I do talk about TV and movie occasionally, which I did consider maybe branching them off to a different channel. But it's hard enough to run one that have to do two, three, four. So it's kind of, my page is more just what I like. It's my interest. It's kind of a look into me, which I think up until I started doing content creation, it was, I've always been very introverted, quite closed book. So it's really, this is kind of a look into what I like. This is what I'm playing. This is what I'm doing. And hopefully other people enjoy that type of thing as well. So it's just build on that.
Has it given you, I don't think it's given you confidence. I'm looking at you from afar now. I'm trying to put words in your mouth a little bit, but I don't think it's given you confidence. I think it's given you more sense of comfortability. Is that fair?
I'd say so. I'm getting to that point now. I started my channel on TikTok just over a year ago, so I'm now getting those videos from last year. And just seeing the way I come across, it's very kind of downbeat Joe. Confidence, I think, is a good word. It has given me a bit of confidence in a sense of putting myself out there because, like I say, I hated being on camera. I hated listening to my voice, and then as soon as you start editing a video for anything, have to listen to yourself over and over and over again, you do start to get, I suppose, more comfortable with that. So definitely has improved confidence and improved the way I present myself, and that I don't need to be as closed off. And I say it's, I'm quite, in normal life, I'm introverted. I do keep to myself. I don't have that many friends overall. So it's been good to find a community on here that has been the same interest, the same kind of going along the same life path, if you like, in terms of gaming history. Because you do find when you get older, lots of people move away from gaming because they don't either have the time, they've got families, they just, don't maybe do as much, if at all. So it's good to have the community on here that we do, that you can share that type of thing with and feel that you can speak to on a more friendly basis rather than just being another content creator.
Just because I'm curious about the type of person you are, you've obviously got your YouTube, your TikTok and everything, and you've said about trying to find a schedule, I suppose, or trying to find a more consistent like pattern of things. You know, maybe for example, you know, you might do more long form content on YouTube, say twice a week, who knows, and then do your TikTok stuff. Have you ever considered doing game journalism or game opinion pieces on websites and stuff?
I hadn't, maybe until recently, like I said, I do have started to think about doing review stuff. In my day-to-day life, I work in IT, so I'm kind of a support person, and I am moving along. I've thought about the game dev route, potentially, though that seems to be a cluster fire just now in terms of major devs. But I have thought about going down that route, and like I say, journalism is not maybe full journalism, but definitely review pieces potentially. That's kind of what I want to branch out more on the YouTube as well, I think. Just either be new games or retrospective games, just to, I think it also helps me build up my own style, if you like, which I'm still trying to find, kind of getting there slowly, but I'm still trying to find my full style. So it's definitely something I might consider in the future.
Because I just think you'd be great at it,
Yeah,
personally. I think you've got
thanks.
a knack for dissecting and deciphering different aspects of games and media and looking deeper into what things might mean for the future, where franchises can go. I just think you'd have a great mind for it. So continue,
Yes.
basically.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, definitely a path to go down.
I've loved this because I've obviously known of you for a little bit, and it's great to have the chance to have a chat like this.
Definitely.
Is there anything you want to finish with before we do?
I don't think so. I say I am. Just appreciative that I was able to come on here. It's been something I kind of put off for a while because I've always been the sense of, again, talking myself down. Who wants to listen to me prattle on for an hour or whatever? Just talk about games, but it's definitely something I wanted to finally do. And yeah, it's been good to actually just speak one on one with yourself, and yeah, just get myself maybe out there a bit more than I don't think I sell myself probably as much as I should. I've got all the socials across the board, but I don't really publicize them, so they are in my bio if people do want to follow. I've got Discord and all that, so but yeah, it's just been good to have this chat and actually, yeah, speak one on one.
Well, as someone that's, you obviously, you said that you're self-proclaimed a bit of an introvert and you don't really sell yourself very well. You've amassed quite a following already. So take that as a big one.
Yeah, somehow it's yeah, you do see it happening and you go, you do think, why are people following me? I'm just some guy who's doing game stuff on the internet, but no, it's very appreciative. Anyone who does follow me, it's always said when I stream, there's been people that come in that have been coming in for about a year now, and the fact that they come in at 2 o'clock in the morning on a Friday, Saturday night when they could be watching anyone else, there's thousands of other people on the app, different things, even in the gaming space. It's very appreciative that they spend the time watching any of my content. So, yeah.
No, it's been tremendous, mate. I really appreciated this. As you said, you know, I could have had you on for ages ago, but I'm glad we got to do it now. And
Definitely.
you've been episode 67 of Champion the Gamer, and I'll catch everybody on the next one.